The promise was set way back in Genesis. And those signals of hope form the prophecies that are continued through the Old Testament. Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. The promise was building already back in Genesis 12. And through the long years of waiting, the prophecies became more and more specific, focusing on the Messiah who had come as prophet and priest and king to rescue his people. Somewhere around 700 years before the time of John the Baptist, we heard the words through the prophet Isaiah, who told the king of Judah, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. This was the clearest prophecy yet that would promise that this offspring would come and deliver his people. The season of anticipation lasted a long time, all the way up until we get to Malachi, the last prophet. And then, silence. Nothing. For well over 400 years. Many centuries of waiting, of anticipation, and all that God's people had to cling to, and all those prophecies of the days of old were clung to tightly through those long, difficult, silent days when they heard nothing from God, no more prophets. You see, God rarely works on our timetable. And so the years turned into centuries, and the centuries turned into millennia, and God continued to send people, and there was still silence. How God's people longed for Messiah to come. If we were a Jewish family at that time, every year at Passover, we would put an extra cup out, an extra place setting. Perhaps this year Messiah would come. Perhaps this is the year when Elijah would show up again and say, Messiah is here, finally. And Passover would come and go, and they'd pack that away. Well, not this year. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. God promised through the prophet Haggai, I will shake the nations and desire of nations will come. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. And yet, there was silence. Until one day, we know the story well, the silence was broken by a rather odd-looking fellow who kind of stumbled out of the desert, or so the story goes. He was dressed kind of weird, and he had a strange diet. That's about all we're told about this individual. But we know that the forerunner, John, came with a very peculiar message. He said, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the silence was finally broken. It was broken with the cry of a child, the child whose birth we're celebrating again this year. And after thousands of years of waiting, God sends an angel to the shepherds in the fields and says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The silence was broken. The gift has been presented, so to speak. And we know the story well. The Magi, those pagan magicians or astrologers, traveled a long way to see this promised child. And they found him exactly where they were told he would be. And it was just as it had been prophesied. And they were not disappointed, we're told. And then recall that prophecy from Isaiah. The prophecy was fulfilled when the Virgin Mary gave birth to the Christ child. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we're told, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Mary, we can only imagine Mary as she held her child in her arms. She was not disappointed. her hope was fulfilled finally, and she was not disappointed. Anticipation was worth it. Then remember the story of Simeon, the old man in the temple courts, a man from Jerusalem who was waiting for Messiah to come. Luke chapter 2, we're told this. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him because it had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Simeon takes this child in his arms, and he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon was satisfied. He was not disappointed. And don't forget about the prophetess. Anna was there as well. Similar story. She waited for many, many years. She never left the temple, but she kept worshiping night and day, knowing at one point she will realize this. And she is told, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, Luke 2, 36 and 38. These are just a few examples. There are many more of those who witnessed this gift giving and were satisfied. There's another example, though, ours. Because these prophecies are ours as well. These promises are ours as well. This anticipation of the Advent season is not just for the December 24th or 25th celebration time. It's not just for what we do with family and with loved ones. We know there's a greater anticipation. This anticipation that this Christ child is our Savior. He is the one who will do for me that which I long for most deeply. God tells those who trust in Christ, Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Lamentations says this, Lamentations 3, 25 to 26, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." And then Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." You see, every person born to this world is heartsick apart from Christ. Our hearts are literally sick with sin, and we need the healing that only Jesus can bring. He is the tree of life that brings forgiveness and cleanses our hearts from sins. He is the one who brings salvation and fulfills the deepest longings in our hearts. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all of our longings. Everything we have ever desired is actually found in him. What is the makings of a perfect gift? Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in person, this babe in a manger that we celebrate, especially this season, is the perfect gift. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." If you know the context of that little verse, Paul just expresses of this thorn in the side of his flesh. Something is causing him great distress. I believe it was physical. I believe it was emotional. I believe it was spiritual. There's something going on that was a major issue for Paul to deal with, because he says, three times I pray, three times, get rid of this pain in my side, literally. And Paul says, I heard, like God says to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Our world is a mess. We know that. Our world is a mess, and we are all working hard to make our worlds work. Some of us might be succeeding more than others. Some of us may be dealing with situations that are way beyond our control. And we work hard to make our world work. Like Paul, we have thorns in the flesh, difficulties and challenges that we must overcome on a daily basis. Are we enough? No, we are not enough. My grace, my favor, my loving kindness and mercy, my grace is sufficient for you. Only my grace can fully satisfy your every need. And why is that true? Because his grace is the very strength of God. We cannot fully rely on ourselves. Rather, we need to fully rely on God. His grace fills the holes that all other things rely on certainly cannot. Biblical grace means blessing or favor from God in terms of our sinful nature. God chooses to offer salvation to us despite of our rebellious nature and disobedience to him. It is him withholding his wrath and judgment and offering instead a path to peace and the way of righteousness through this Christ child, through Jesus Christ. And in him, we have the gift of satisfaction. Grace, by definition, is a gift. And it is the gift of satisfaction. His grace is sufficient. His grace satisfies completely. Satisfaction guaranteed. And forget about the money refunded part, because it comes free, just for the asking. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in the glory of Jesus Christ." Here's a trustworthy saying, Paul says in 1 Timothy. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. This means he came to save you and to save me. Jesus was born into this world as a helpless infant so he could grow and be the man that he became and die on the cross for your sins and for mine. And in him is all the sufficiency needed. Satisfaction guaranteed. So what is the perfect gift? The gift of Jesus Christ, who satisfies our deepest needs. And this gift will not disappoint. So wherever you are today, wherever you are in your Advent journey this season, I pray at the outset you would not forget this gift that is ours, free for the receiving, will satisfy, absolutely satisfy. And it cost him dearly. But he paid that price freely so that you and I can walk in the joy and in the anticipation of Advent season. I pray that will be your journey, especially this year. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you that you remind us in your word in so many ways that this Messiah who was promised from the very beginning of your word is the one whom we celebrate this Advent season. It's a great time. We enjoy this season. We enjoy the sights and the sounds and the smells and this pervading attitude of goodwill that always surfaces at this time of the year. But we know that it beckons to something much, much larger, because we know in your word you promised you will come again. You will come again. And we, like the first people who waited for the first coming, we're waiting with eager anticipation for your second coming. May that be a reason for our hope. May that be a reason for our joy. May that be what seasons our attitudes and flavors our words as we move through this Advent season this year. May we bring you the glory. In your name I pray. Amen.